Summer is a time for excitement, so go ahead and switch things up with a new recipe from HelloFresh. With pre-measured ingredients and easy-to-follow directions, it's never been easier to try something new. Get up to 14 free meals, including free shipping, with the code FOOTBALLERS14 at HelloFresh.com/FOOTBALLERS14.
And guys, look at your wedding ring right now. Is it fun? Is it boring? Were you like me? Did you go into the shop and go,
I'll take it.
I'll take that one. That's not the right way to do it, and Manly Bands is going to help you upgrade your game. They have incredible rings, and they're going to get you. They have you covered from all aspects. They get you started with the Manly Ring Sizer to figure out your size, and once you know that, that is the fun part. They have incredible materials like gold.
Get to the dinosaur bone.
I will get gold, wood. You got to build anticipation.
I'm sorry.
Gold, wood. Antler, steel, dinosaur.
There bone. It is.
Meteorites. They have a curated collection of Jack Daniel's whiskey barrel made rings. They have awesome things. It's time to take your ring, upgrade it. No more of that. I didn't think about this at all. It should have your personality reflected in it. And right now, you can order your Manly Band, and you're going to get 21% off plus a free silicone ring if you go to manlybands.com/footballers. That's manlybands.com/footballers. The code is footballers. You're going to get 21% off. Manly Bands, the best rings, period.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Monday, August 23rd, we're back. Whether you like it or not.
I like it.
I think there's a little, there's some extra going on in this room this morning.
I'm in a good mood.
Some electricity.
I'm excited. This is a fun time of year. We were having fun with the producers before the show.
We've got coffee.
Fun for us. I don't know if it was fun for the producers themselves.
Jason, at many points throughout this show, will probably end up with a milk mustache of some kind.
Why are
is
you,
it a milk? It's a
are
chai
you
tea
eating
latte.
Cookies with milk? Oh, okay.
It's a chai tea latte, so I don't know that it's a milk mustache.
I'm not sure why you decided that a real foamy coffee when you're recording the number one YouTube fantasy football show is appropriate.
Two reasons. So reason number one, delicious. Reason number two,
that's a good one.
That's reason number two, isn't it?
That is also reason number two, delicious.
We have a great show. We've had a number of preseason games we're going to talk about. Fantasy news to get into, mailbag questions to answer, and an announcement for everyone.
Oh, it's a big one. It's a big one. Oh.
People have been asking.
The
Megalobowl.
The Megalobowl is here, people. If you're listening for the first time, you just found us this year, and you're like, what is happening with their voices? The Megalodon.
The Megalobowl.
Well, the Megalodon has to come up out of the water after that music.
That's true.
Is about to swallow us all up. The Megalobowl, the world's largest fantasy league, is here. You can join.
That we know of.
I have asked for years for any example of a league anywhere near this size, and I have never found it, so I establish it. I decree it as the largest in the land. Here's the deal. We have contacted.
I declare
bankruptcy. We have contacted the Listener League participants and reached out. Mm-hmm. Thank you for all your submissions. It was always humbling and amazing. If you did not make it into the Listener League, don't worry. Almost none of you did. However,
statistically speaking,
however, all of you have a chance. The winner of the Megalobowl is automatically in the Listener League. This is where you can really prove to us, to the other Foot Clan members, to everyone, that you could play. Go to megalobowl.com. If for everybody who is a supporter at Join the Foot, you are automatically able to sign up. You just go to megalobowl.com, and I would bookmark that, because all the rules, all the frequently asked questions, the how-tos, and as the season goes on, the rankings and all that, it will always be updated at megalobowl.com. So if you want to play with us, and I'm playing this year. I'm in one of these leagues already. Not telling you what time slot, but we will have that running. You could go to megalobowl.com right now, sign up for one of the four time slots. We have an international. We have an international time slot.
Bonjour.
Now. 4 days, the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th of September. So pick a slot that is right for you. Make sure when you sign in, use your sleeper account ID that you already have, like log in, and then you could join rather easily. Pick a time slot.
It's so fun. And it last year we had over 8,700 people in the Megla Bowl. One came out on top. They're in this year's Listener League. It is so fun. I'm going to throw this out there. I'd like to have 10,000 people in the Megla Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
And wouldn't that just be kind of like the bullet point of your life if you won a 10,000-person tournament? Wouldn't they talk about that at your own funeral? Like, wouldn't your family talk about the time that you won the Megla Bowl?
Yeah, probably. Like,
and maybe.
I mean, at the end, you're like, hey, remember that time I won the Megla Bowl?
When there were 10,000
people.
They're
like, Dad, yeah, but what about us? Like, yeah, but.
That was cool, right?
I'm talking about my greatest achievement. That's not you.
So, like Jason said,
away in the chair.
Like Jason said, megalobowl.com with all the information. If you already support it, jointhefoot.com. There's a post that's up there with your entry link, so you can jump in. And another reminder, use your existing Sleeper account. Sleeper hosts the entire tournament. They do a great job with it. But you want to have it integrated with your existing account.
And these are normal 12 team leagues. You're not in like one 10,000. Players go real deep in there.
If you're drafting out of the 311 spot.
Oh, that's a tough spot.
You
this
might
year.
Not even get a player.
No, they're 12 team leagues. And then towards the end of the year, we start, you know, in the playoffs, we do it by points and it's all transparent and out in front of your face on megalobowl.com. It's a good time. All right, so that announcement is out of the way. A reminder, you can head to ultimatedraftkid.com, get the UDK, get ready for your draft. You can find us on Twitter at the FF Ballers, and let's talk news.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Now, Jason, do you want to grab like a milkshake or something before I get into the news?
I would really love wake up. A milkshake. I mean, I think it would really help the old vocal cords.
It makes for good radio if you're...
Flimmy?
Yeah, right. Okay, we're going to get into injury news, some pretty important storylines there, and then all of the preseason takeaways will come after that. This is one of the one of the bigger ones. Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Suffered an ankle sprain in week two of preseason. To be clear, I am not laughing at the injury. That is unfortunate.
You're laughing at Final Desta Jason.
I am laughing at Final Desta Jason, who this summer has stolen the sickle from my hand.
Yes.
And run wild through the forest. I mean,
when I love a guy,
no wheat can stand up to your sight.
No, when I love a player, they have not been healthy. And what's great about this is not only on Friday did I declare Clyde Edwards-Helaire my guy, but then in our family league a few hours later, I drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the middle of the second, happily, proudly. And then that evening
so,
he got injured.
If you're just hearing about this for the first time, he still has a chance to be ready for week one, depending on the severity of the ankle injury. Early indications are that it's not a high ankle sprain. But we're still waiting for information on whether it's a grade one or two sprain, which could mean 2 to 3 weeks for a grade one where he's ready for week one, or a grade two sprain.
Or you have Michael Thomas from last year.
Yeah, right.
It's an interior ankle injury.
Right. The inside of the leg is a much more difficult part of, you know, when you injure the inside ankle, it is a longer recovery time. However, based on the play itself and the verbiage being used about how it's minor, I would be surprised if this turns out to be a higher grade sprain. But it certainly could, you know, either he is there in week one and gets off to a slow start potentially, or, you know, because it's preseason, they don't have to be honest. They can say whatever they want about
these
injuries.
Are you taking him at his current ADP?
At his current ADP at that 2-3 turn, yes. Okay. Now, where I took him on Friday, which was much earlier in the second, there were other players I would have pivoted to, like a Joe Mixon. If I'm staring them down right now, I'll take the one that's not currently injured.
What's unfortunate is last year he dealt with an injury as well heading into the playoffs. He didn't come back until, I think, the second game of the playoffs. And you hate to see that with someone you want to be a workhorse running back, because the team makes plans to not have you if you get hurt a lot. It doesn't mean he couldn't, you know, handle it. It's just the team brings other players in. You know, you have Darrell Williams, you have Jerick McKinnon. So
yeah, those guys are now, I mean, we're very much in limbo. We have no idea if Clyde's going to miss week one or not. But both of those running backs were, you know, really undrafted types of players. And now at the very end, grabbing Darrell Williams or drafting Jerick McKinnon is not that bad of an idea. Draft them, wait on the injury news, and either you have a now have a player who has increased value, or you just drop them and grab someone off the waivers.
All right, A.J. Brown. Injury news on him this morning, continued in injury news. He had missed a practice. I think that was the last thing we reported. Expected to be ready to start the season, despite a knee injury that recently had him sidelined during practices. If you remember, A.J. Brown dealt with an injury in the beginning of his rookie year, right? Or was it the beginning of last year?
But he was injured last year.
Great.
And last year was the one where the team had talked to him about shutting it down for the year. And he said, no, I'm going to rehab, and then I'll get the cleanup after the season is done. So that...
It's not great.
No, it's not.
Let me ask you this. You're on the clock right now, and A.J. Brown is there, or Justin Jefferson, Keenan Allen, Terry McLaurin. Are you taking those type of players over A.J. Brown because of the potential knee problems?
I mean, I have them all ranked ahead of A.J. Brown anyways.
Yeah.
So, yes, there's variables with Julio's arrival anyway. So those players are all quality enough to be taken ahead of him.
Yeah, Jefferson, Keenan Allen, DK Metcalf, Allen Robinson. I have those guys already projected ahead of A.J. Brown.
Is there a lower tier of names you could bring up there for people drafting?
Like Mike Evans, CeeDee Lamb. You got the tried and true, very, you know, the vet who has always done it in Mike Evans, and then the new hotness at CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb's a tough one. I mean, I think I would take him ahead of A.J. Brown.
I would as well.
All right, Adam Thielen suffered a thigh bruise in the preseason game. I don't think that's going to be concerning with the season 20 days away. Dak has had no setbacks.
Okay.
Remains on track to start September 9th against the Buccaneers. All Zeke, Amari Cooper, Michael Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Blake Jarwin fans rejoice with that news. This was impressive. Carson Wentz is back at practice. I saw videos of him this morning. Like, the headline here is that Carson Wentz is healthy. Because you got 20 days till the season begins. He's going to be their starting quarterback.
It looks like it.
I've projected him for 17 weeks, which is a normal full season projection.
That's not a normal Carson Wentz projection,
though. That's fair, but I think he's going to be under center. I mean, I saw video of him running today, and he looked great.
Yeah, with 20 days to heal, I mean, it's certainly not out of the question that he's not there for week one. But remember, the injury timeline was 5 to 12 weeks. So it was like 5 to more than double that. And he's not going to be on the high-end side. This looks like he'll be ready probably week one, but if not,
sooner than,
But all of the adjustments that were made or hesitations that existed around Michael Pittman breakout, Paris Campbell's return, T.Y. Hilton or Mo Alley Cox, or even Jonathan Taylor got adjusted in a lot of rankings due to hesitation around the quarterback position. Are we just going back in time?
I think for the most part, yeah. I mean, you still have Quentin Nelson's injury and the fact that he's coming back from this, and so I would imagine you're not going to be just at 100% week one. That being said, I Michael Pittman is an extreme value for where he's going, because he's not going in those middle rounds. He's a very late round pick now because of this injury, and he has all the opportunity in the world to break out. So where he's going, I love his value.
And they have their version of Tim Patrick as well on that roster.
Zach Pascal.
Jalen Hurts returned to full practice on Sunday after missing Thursday's game with an illness. That's good. Trey Sermon didn't play in week two, has a minor ankle injury. So you saw, Wayne Gallman out there?
Yeah.
And Mostert has been out at practice, but he's not been in the games. So, okay. I mean,
just something to be aware of, another ankle injury. Raheem Mostert, to me, is still a very good value. I know that
you need to say that, not me.
Sure.
That's important.
I feel like I just did. But, yeah, I mean, Raheem Mostert, to me, is a very good value. He's one of those, you know, middle, later round picks that is the starter. And for, you know, who's going to lead the NFC in rushing? The Niners? who's going to be the number one running back? Raheem Mostert? Like, he's not going to be an 18, 19, 20 touch guy, but he doesn't need to be. If he touches the ball 12, 13 times a game, he's going to be good for fantasy.
As long as he's healthy, he'll be good.
Correct.
So, I mean, I'm with you. And where he's going in drafts, I believe I took him in our family league.
It is very late.
And it's like my choice there was like you could go Mostert or James Robinson at that point in the draft. I just seems like the cost is there so low. All right, Jalen Waddle briefly left the game due to a leg injury, later
he
returned.
Waddled away.
He waddled back in, though, fortunately.
He got his grapes.
Will Fuller. Lower body injury.
You could just say bodily injury. Will Fuller, bodily injury. That's
they said he'll be healthy
does.
To start the season. They won't need him then because he's suspended. So week two should see the debut of Will Fuller with Tua, who I think has looked really good.
He's looked excellent.
And then Emmanuel Sanders has been in and out of practice with a foot injury.
This one is – so I saw this several weeks ago when I was adjusting some rankings, and it just seemed mild, like not news that we brought up on the show. But he was in and out – this I'm talking like 2-3 weeks ago with this foot problem, and now if that's still continuing, it's certainly – like I had him – firmly as the you know that second wide receiver, but now Cole Beasley and you know
Gabe Davis,
even Gabriel Davis, they're looking better if Emmanuel Sanders at this age is dealing with a nagging foot injury.
All right, we're going to talk about our thoughts from the preseason games, takeaways. This is such an important time of year. It really, really, really is, because you know you spend the entire offseason talking about what you think will happen, but players weren't practicing, players weren't in games. You don't want to overreact, but you do want to react. You want to stay water. You want to take it all in and make, you know, the proper adjustments to your rankings, to the way you see the world, so to speak. Like, I feel like this is like a movie, a blockbuster movie that's been anticipated, and you've seen the trailers, and everybody has hypothesis, or what would you call the plural of that? Hypotheses?
That's correct.
A hypothi
yeah. Of what the plot's going to be, but nobody's seen the movie, right? And once you see the movie, you've got to make adjustments. So we're going to get into that. We want to thank Sleeper for the news and notes segment. They just released their new web app. We just made some suggestions to them. They are so quick on upgrading the platform to fit and meet the needs of fantasy players.
Mm-hmm.
So they've added 21 new things to their web app, including auction leagues, matchmaking, iPad use. So make the switch to Sleeper. Check them out. Preseason time.
Preseason power up.
Oh, baby.
All right. Week two action almost complete. Now, we have a game tonight, right?
And it seems like it's an important game.
It does.
According to Nick Underhill, Sean Payton said he wants to declare a starter this next week. And so this game here between Jameis, it's really a, here's the matchup tonight. It's Jameis Winston versus Taysom Hill. That's what I'm seeing. Jameis Winston's going to get the start tonight, and they're playing for that job.
If I know anything about Jameis Winston, which I think I do, pressure's going to be very interesting.
Let's see what the see if the young man
if he steps up tonight, he deserves the job, because it's all on the line, and that'll be a fun one to watch. Who do they play tonight?
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we get to see.
Get to see more of Sir Lawrence.
Yeah, that'd be great. So, not necessarily going to cover every game. I just want to hit the high points, the meaningful takeaways, things that we think will impact drafts. I mean, most drafts are taking place from, you know, I guess now through Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
So let's start here at the quarterback position. Let's start with Trey Lance. It was an up and down performance. I watched this thing, 8-for-14, 102 yards, 2 touchdowns, couple of throws that Jimmy Garoppolo would never make and couldn't make. Had a couple of throws that were, one was intercepted that maybe Sanu could have saved him from an interception, and then he had another ball that should have been intercepted that wasn't. Some of the hesitation you saw in the pocket trying to make things happen, but overall, still impressed with Trey Lance. Still, I'm getting to the point where I don't think it's logical for the 49ers to go with Jimmy Garoppolo. I know that they've said they will, but I just I think the upside for this team in such a difficult division exists entirely in Trey Lance's hands.
I think that's exactly why they went out and they drafted him. And on and like you can look at the Trey Lance's overall completion numbers, not very impressive, but also factor in it's he has the preseason lead of his wide receivers have dropped 7 passes. I mean, maybe that's on Lance, and he needs to take some of that heat off of some of these passes because he throws an absolute laser beam.
It reminds me of when Cam Newton came into the league,
yeah,
and it was ricocheting off of everyone's hands except for, of course, the Hall of Famer, Kelvin Benjamin.
of course. Maybe that needs to be part of his game, but I stick with sooner than later, Trey Lance will be the starting quarterback.
Yeah, I'm coming around, Mike, and it's meaningful. I mean, we're in the middle of a slow draft in one of our leagues,
right.
And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm taking Trey Lance with my next pick.
It's our family league, so I don't know if I could talk my son into Trey Lance anyways.
Well, you already have Josh Allen.
Yeah.
I knew you still would take him. That's why I'm not letting him go. I'm not letting him go through the 8th round because I know you would still take him.
I'm going to draft him right now. You better hurry up.
I know. So I want to talk about Zach Wilson, though.
Yes.
Because the Jets, they get like maybe a disservice done to them in fantasy circles. To be fair,
they've done a disservice to us.
That's fair.
The fantasy community, the world.
Our eyeballs.
Football fans.
Jets fans.
They know.
Yeah.
If there are two fan bases that know what we're talking, Detroit and the Jets,
yeah,
they
like,
know.
Yeah. But we want good things for you guys.
But Jets fans, we're going to say something nice.
We are. And I was a fan. You guys remember from the offseason. I was a fan of Zach Wilson on film.
Yes.
Yesterday's performance, he was 9-for-11, 128 yards, 2 touchdowns against Green Bay. But what stood out to me wasn't the stat line at all. It was what I saw. And what I saw was a player that reminded of me of what I loved about Josh Allen when he was a rookie. All of the, coarse edges and refinements that need to be made, sure. He's going to have his growing pains. He's going to throw interceptions. He's going to get sacked because he tries to extend the play too long. But holy crap, the arm talent for Zach Wilson is insane.
Yeah.
He made throws from Mahomes-esque type of throws in this game. You know, even Aaron Rodgers says he was impressed with the performance. Corey Davis stood up as a number one in this performance as well. He was targeted on 10 of 13 routes.
Yeah, Corey Davis has
in the last two games
has gone up tremendously. He has gone from, like, when we've been doing mock drafts, Corey Davis is there, and he's the last remaining potential number one wide receiver on his team. And it was like, I don't know, man. Corey Davis, we have such little – real production from him back at Tennessee when he was, the number one or a top 10 draft pick, didn't really do much, finally had a breakout, but I'm in, man. I think that Corey Davis, his ADP will rise from where he was, which was ludicrously low. So he's still going to be a value wherever he ends up.
He was the wide receiver 47, and we all have him ranked 25, 27, and 37. So well above that marker. And I just simply echo what you guys are saying. The eyeball test in preseason has been very good for Zach Wilson. The speed and zip on the balls and some of the things, like I was watching this video, showing how he's looking safeties off and doing some just really good stuff. So I am warming up to Zach Wilson. And unlike Trey Lance, unlike Justin Fields,
he's
the starter week one.
Yeah.
Like we know that for a fact.
Andy, let me – Corey Davis question for you.
Yeah.
Because you do have him ranked the highest. How are you handling late in drafts? Are you – like, how does this make you feel about Elijah Moore, the rookie wide receiver for the Jets? He's been out because he's been dealing with an injury. But before that was – I think Elijah Moore has kind of been the training camp hero of the most hype we've seen on Twitter. But Corey Davis is the actual number one with production in the NFL. Where are you going after Corey Davis? Are you bypassing so that you can draft Elijah Moore later?
It's Corey Davis.
Okay.
They paid him the money. He's more proven at the NFL level. And the reality is we've taken him in multiple mock drafts this offseason, begrudgingly. It's an emotional hurdle to take Corey Davis and to lean on him. But Zach Wilson looks like he's going to have games. Maybe not every game. but he's going to have his games, and he's going to look to Corey Davis, and they paid Corey Davis to come in and be an alpha. And so, yeah, I'm excited about the potential. Like, I'm getting comfortable with him as a two, like a wide receiver two for my team at this
wow.
point.
Yeah, Zach Wilson has not done enough to where I'm drafting Zach Wilson as a rookie quarterback for fantasy, but he has definitely done enough to where I'm drafting Corey Davis with more confidence, especially the hyper-targeting. Yes, mm-hmm. sir, young man. Target one wide receiver. Do that yes. for us. All right, before we get to the important Teddy Bridgewater versus Drew Lock conversation, want to thank our sponsors today, and Keeps is helping the Foot Clan keeps their hair. 2 out of 3 men will experience some form of hair loss by the time they are 35. More than 50 million men in the U.S. suffer from male pattern baldness. Keeps offers a simple, stress-free way to keep your hair. They have convenient virtual doctor consultations, medications delivered straight to your door every 3 months, and it's a low cost. Treatments start at just $10 a month, and Keeps offers the generic versions with discreet packaging and proven results. A ton of 5-star reviews, more than any of its competitors, but treatments could take 4 to 6 months, so act fast. Prevention is key. If you're ready to prevent hair loss, go to keeps.com/footballers to receive your first month of treatment for free. That's KEEPS.com/footballers to get your first month free. Keeps.com/footballers to make sure that you keeps that hair.
Nice.
And we want to thank DirecTV for supporting the show. We know what you want. You want football. And not just a game or two. You want all the games live. And, well, maybe you can't get DirecTV where you live. No problem. You can stream it. You can stream Sunday Ticket on your favorite devices. No satellite required, like having a front row seat to every live out-of-market game. We've leaned on, you know, we love Sunday Ticket. We've used it for years and years. Mm-hmm. If you've seen our studio setup. And NFLSundayTicket.tv lets you follow your favorite team no matter where you live. Every out-of-market game, like I said, you got shortcuts in the app. See replays of entire games in less than 30 minutes. Through the NFL Sunday Ticket app, you got player tracker, you know, for fantasy football, so you can keep track of what's going on with your favorite names. You go online to NFLSundayTicket.tv/SundayReady now to see if you're eligible. Use the promo code BALLERS2021 at checkout to save 15%. Again, to see if you're eligible for the NFL Sunday Ticket streaming package, go to NFLSundayTicket.tv/SundayReady and use the code BALLERS2021 to save 15% when you sign up. All right. Broncos quarterback battle continues. Teddy Bridgewater got the opportunity to start this one and was outstanding. Numbers-wise, I mean, great passer rating, came out, did the job, hit Hamler on a touchdown, converted a fourth down.
Hit Jerry Jeudy in stride across the field where it was like, oh, yeah. Jerry was surprised. He's like, wait, what? I can get the ball right where I'm running? That's great.
But let's be realistic here, because whether it's Teddy or Drew, and we don't know when they'll declare a starter, maybe they'll take the Sean Payton approach and do it sooner than later. I mean, Teddy was better in this game. I think Drew Lock was better in the last game. But Teddy so far, 4 possessions in the preseason, 3 touchdowns and a field goal, has weapons. Does this matter to you? Does it matter in a real way in terms of how you're drafting Jeudy, Sutton, Fant, and company? Because if it doesn't...
It does matter to me with Jerry Jeudy. I don't think that Jerry Jeudy can't break out with one and will break out with the other, or some astronomically wide gap where someone's on or off my board. But I do think that the style of play that Teddy Bridgewater has matches Jerry Jeudy fantastically. It's what I just said. It's a hit and stride on these slants across the field. Teddy Bridgewater's accuracy is far better than Drew Lock's. Think about Jerry Judy's rookie season. He was always open. Andy, you've brought this up many times. He had, I believe, the lowest or the highest
low.
Amount
yes.
of...
Second. Behind yeah. AJ Green of catchable passes.
Yeah, of uncatchable passes, and that was Drew Lock. So that's the difference to me. If Jerry Jeudy is getting open and not able to catch the ball because it's not put on him, that's not good for fantasy. You want to be able to catch the ball. So he's the one player where if they came out tomorrow and said Teddy Bridgewater's the starter, because I have, based on last week, I actually finally, I held off the whole offseason, but last week I changed and made Drew Lock the starter. So if they were to come out and declare Bridgewater the starter, I would be moving Jerry Jeudy up.
Okay. Let's talk about some running backs. Let's talk about Najee Harris. He had a huge 46-yard rumbling kind of surprise speed on the edge reception where it didn't look like it was going anywhere, and then all of a sudden he breaks down the sideline.
I love it.
I mean, he stiff-armed a guy, I think broke another tackle, managed to juke the safety who was like 10 yards away from him. It was an outstanding catch and run.
I think the headline for me on why Najee's an RB1 for me now. He's at 12. And part of that has to do with how fluid the new offense is in Pittsburgh. Big Ben looks great.
Thank you. The offense looks great.
So I think we should talk about it holistically here with Pittsburgh. But everything looks great in Pittsburgh right now. We know the defense is going to be good. And Najee's going to be the linchpin in the backfield. So it's just math. I mean, he's a talented first-round running back on a team that the offense is looking good, and Big Ben looks good.
Mike Tomlin utilizes a three-down running back, and it's like on just pure volume alone, Najee Harris should be drafted as a running back one. Then build in upside of what if he's actually the player that the Steelers believe he is and drafted him in the first round. Yes, the offensive line stinks. I get it. But the volume is going to be incredible. Big Ben's arm looked lively. Now, that's just one preseason game, but that throw, that 40-air yard throw to Deontay looked pretty solid. The touchdown passes were very strong to Pat Freiermuth, the new rookie tight end, is catching touchdowns. But I've been all in on Najee, and this is full confirmation bias to me. I'm drafting Najee with full confidence, and I'm drafting him in front of a lot of other running backs. I have him inside of my top 10.
Are you taking
right now.
Najee or I would take, your champion?
I would take Najee Harris over Antonio Gibson.
You knew where I was going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can tell you why. If you owe me a climb inside the recesses of Mike's enormous head.
Yeah.
You will get lost.
It's going to sound echoey, but let's hear it.
Mike is more confident in third down snaps for Najee Harris than he is for Antonio Gibson.
That is 100% it.
Yeah. J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards. They split time over the first three drives in the Ravens' second game. Each had four carries. Gus has been in our sleeper category of the UDK for a while, but Dobbins is a third-round pick. Gus is an 11th-round pick.
Yeah, Dobbins is the better player physically, talent-wise. That's why he was drafted higher. You see it on the field. He's going to get he's going to get slightly more work than Gus, for sure. He's going to end up with more fantasy points, assuming both of them are healthy. But that gap is wild. I don't think that Dobbins is being overdrafted. I just think Gus is being left for dead in the 10th round, where you've got a guy who's going to touch the ball enough to be fantasy relevant a lot of weeks for the Ravens. Mark Ingram is out of the way. He's got the touchdown opportunities too. So I do like Gus Bus as a late round flyer.
Gus Bus or James Conner.
James Conner.
He did not look good, by the way.
The Arizona Cardinals do not look good.
That's fair. Their offense
three and outs with Kyler.
They were missing some offensive line due to COVID protocol as well, which Kyler did not want. From what I understand, Kyler did not want to play in this game because of the offensive line situation. But basically, Cliff forced him to play in this game.
Well, he threw all the balls away.
Play, yeah.
And he's like, "Oh yeah, you're gonna make me play? Watch this."
Why did he spike the ball there?
Yeah, no, they didn't look good at all. But Connor. Limited amounts of opportunity. I mean, Chase has been the starter to get the handoffs in both preseason games.
Yeah.
Connor missed one with COVID protocol, though. So still a little too early to declare, you know, some new perspective on the backfield. But all right, let's talk about.
Someone stopped at the station and filled up.
See what you did there. The gas man, Miles Gaskin.
We go from the Gus Bus to the gas man. Miles Gaskin had himself.
I love car jokes.
You do. You're a big fan. Yeah. Miles Gaskin had a big. There was a big reaction to him last week. It was, you know, it was the Malcolm Brown show, and then we talked. You know, Jason, you've been really down on Miles Gaskin. You brought him up on the bus episode, and then this last week, you know, there's the possibility you could go the wrong direction, you know, and overreact in a positive way to Miles Gaskin having a couple of touchdowns and. You know, I loved seeing him involved in the passing game again. So I guess I'll toss to you and say, like, Where do you find yourself after 2 weeks of preseason football with Miles?
I find myself where I was before preseason. This is a perfect case of not overreacting. Last week I said I'm the one that can victory lap, but I'm not really doing that. I didn't move Gaskin after last week. It was the expectation that I had is not that Miles Gaskin is terrible. It's not that he's not the starter. It's that this is going to be a backfield that he's not going to have to himself and get 18 touches a game and yada yada. And I think even though he had the majority of work in this game, you saw it, right? I mean, Ahmed was involved. Malcolm Brown was still involved. Brown got a touchdown as well. So if the Dolphins offense really takes that huge leap forward, because Tua has definitely looked good, that's the bigger change for the Dolphins for me. Gaskin is what I thought he was so far before either of these preseason weeks, which is just the primary guy in a timeshare on a questionable offense. But Tua has looked pretty good. And so I think if you want Gaskin to take a step forward to be a weekly fantasy, locked in starter, that's on Tua, and you're hoping that the offense just gets better. It's not going to come the way that it came last year with 18 touches a game. That's I'm not overreacting to this one. I didn't overreact last week. I think it's a three-headed backfield.
I still have him inside my top 24. I didn't move him, but I liked what I saw, and I'm with you. I think the offense is interesting.
Yeah, I have him at 27, so right around there.
Javonte Williams, thoughts on Javonte this preseason?
I thought Javonte has looked the part. There was a very crucial, I can't remember if it was third or fourth down, but monster blitz pickup where Javonte, tracked it, ran right up the middle, and just stonewalled a player, that, and it turned into a huge play for the team. So he looks the part. Melvin Gordon has been dealing with his own injury, which you can read up. I believe he's on the groin index.
Ah, groin.
I thought he was a groin injury.
Look, if you're on the groin index, you know it.
Yes,
like you know,
100% of players on the groinindex.com have a groin injury. So that you can't know for sure that Javonte is going to be. I don't
Did
think
he
he's going to be
the
guy. No, on the goal line, he was. He kind of got stuffed, but then one of his offensive linemen ripped the ball out of his.
Oh, that was so cool.
So he actually took the ball out of his hands.
He ripped it out of his hands, and they called it a touchdown. I don't know if
that's why you guys were reacting.
I don't know if it was a legal maneuver, but it was.
I don't know
it was
how
definitely
it wouldn't
big brained.
I think. Yeah, I mean, it felt galaxy brain, man.
Hold on. Let's think about that. What if you had like three guys take the handoff?
Oh, and just do like a daisy chain,
and then you don't know.
You're making assembly line
like three card Monty.
I mean, like you're in a triad formation, just kind of, and one of them breaks away with the ball. Come on!
It was really cool to watch the play, just because he's standing
funny.
In the end zone.
Yeah,
and he's like, I see that ball; it's right there. I could just grab it. He does. He grabs it. He's like, I did this. I scored a touchdown. It was.
Is the coach happy or upset with that? Because that's a really risky maneuver.
Yeah, you're on the goal line and you're ripping the ball away from your own player. I can't imagine you're thrilled. But then he scored the touchdown. It was one of my favorite plays I've seen in a long time. I wish it was regular season.
You're like, I'm proud of you, but don't ever do that again.
You think the Houston Texans will pick him up as a running back?
They
maybe
need
make an acquisition.
They need more running backs.
So stay away.
Yeah.
From the Houston backfield. I watched Mark Ingram look good relative to what I thought he had, and he scored on the goal line. And then there's Philip Lindsay, and then there's third down David Johnson, and then there's
sadness.
Quarterback Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, and then there's the non-winning franchise that scores on average probably 14 points a game.
They're doing their best to shut down the possibility of fantasy players drafting their players. Like, they've spent the offseason accumulating just too many.
Every time we're doing our family draft, and every time the rounds go by and my sons need a wide receiver, I'm like, well, this Brandon Cooks guy is he's all alone and he should get the ball, but
it's funny.
I never know what to do with them.
It's
I never
probably
want
a
to
little,
draft them.
Little bit of an overreaction, but at the running back, I'm not touching them. A wide receiver, Cooks is fine. And then, like, even in our dynasty league, Chris Conley's on the waiver wire. And he's the opposing starter. So that tells you kind of where the temperature is nobody wants to start a Houston Texan. And a lot of the times we're wrong about those situations. So
yeah, that would be what you call a murky backfield.
Yes.
Very ambiguous. I believe that it's Lindsey and Mark Ingram, but that remains to be seen.
It's not David Johnson.
More than likely it is not.
Go get that number one pick, Houston.
Yeah, trust the process.
Go get him.
There is a battle for the backup to Daryl Henderson. Darnell Anderson is not available to back him up. So they're looking at Jake Funk, rookie running back, or Xavier Jones. I think Xavier Jones looked outstanding in the preseason. Neither is on the redraft radar for me in any way. Is that where you guys are at?
100%. You
Los Angeles Rams.
You can't draft an insurance running back unless you – like, we don't usually draft insurance running backs. You know, those are guys you pick up as the season goes on. You've got extra roster spots. You pick them up before a Sunday. You're going into the playoffs. In the draft season, we don't usually do it. Sometimes we'll do it when there's a locked-in, guaranteed known commodity. Like, if this guy goes down, then that guy's the backup. But here, we think it's Xavier Jones. I would agree with you, Andy. He's looked good. It could be Jake Funk. And then you grab Xavier Jones, and then Daryl Henderson goes down, and you're like, yeah, see how smart I was? And then it's not even the guy.
Right.
All right, do I get to talk about my biggest?
Oh, yes.
There's another running back to talk about.
Quickly, we got to talk about the Jets running back situation. Michael Carter was one of Draft Twitter's favorite running backs out of North Carolina. He fell to the fourth round, which was – I mean, it was early in the fourth round, but it was still like this is already a red flag on a player who is undersized and not in his athletic profile doesn't like break the charts or anything. But the situation for Michael Carter, who the Jets drafted, it seemed like it could be wide open for him to not be the guy like, oh, we're getting 65% of the running back touches, but no, be the leader of a platoon of a running back by committee. That's more that'll be the system that they use. I mean, you have a bunch of San Francisco, Kyle Shanahan coach tree guys who are now leading the Jets. So you're going to see a running back by committee. But Tevin Coleman, Ty Johnson, those were the guys with the starters yesterday. Michael Carter did play in the game after Zach Wilson was already done,
yeah,
which is
not good.
That's not a great sign if you're drafting Michael Carter to be an impact player for your team right away, that's not going to work out.
Yeah.
And he could, by the end, overtake, but at least through the first 25% of the season, he's just going to be sitting on your bench.
And I brought up drafting Tevin Coleman a couple of months ago just for the first few weeks. Just
and
like
I did it in our mock, and I was like, oh, that felt really stupid.
Yeah, the hope with Carter.
Maybe it's not.
And the reason why Carter's ADP is where it was, which is RB35 right now, is because of the unknown of whether he could establish himself as the guy. You're not interested in Michael Carter, the platoon. You're interested in Michael Carter, the starter, for 20 opportunities a game.
Right.
That's what you're going to need in New York, probably. So,
He's pretty much off my draft board now. He's one of those players where when you were drafting him, it was because of the promise of opportunity, of having a giant workload. And that promise is gone. Like he is not going to go out there and be the lead dog workhorse
Jason,
back. That's over.
We all know that sometimes promises can be crazy sometimes.
Nagy?
Yeah.
Nagy's most recent comments this preseason is that I'm starting to buy the sacrificial lamb theory.
The Rams? Yeah.
Because they're playing the Rams in week one, and the newest line from the magician is that Andy Dalton, we need to see him in the regular season.
Yeah.
It's not fair to judge him in the preseason.
Such a strange thing to say.
And Dalton's looked fine. I mean, he really has. He's looked pretty good to me.
He's had a couple splash plays, but for the most part, I feel like he's been bad. Like, to start out, he's 3 and out, and then he gets a good, like, one big, home run play. I don't know.
His efficiency. Yeah, I mean, I get it. And Justin Fields looks great. I mean, for the most part, other than getting lit up and not sensing that pressure and having his helmet sent to Cancun. But he's looked good to me. And, you've seen the legs. You've seen the escapability in some of these Russell Wilson rookie year similarities where he escapes and gains, 20 yards. At the wide receiver position, I tweeted this morning, Jason wants to rejoice.
I'm so excited about this.
I guess he should because he had a read earlier than we did. And Mike Knight not being the camp that I'm in. I tweeted that there are really no good signals right now regarding Ja'Marr Chase in Cincinnati. I did believe that, you know, and it's still possible that he'll have a rookie impact this year for fantasy teams. But like everything we teach on this show is to stay water and adjust your opinion. Like everything that fantasy analysts on Twitter do is pronounce a take and stay with it. But that's stupid. Like, my opinion has changed on Ja'Marr Chase this offseason, just like this show's opinion on Joe Burrow has changed. I mean, in the early parts of the offseason, after the acquisition of Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow was in our breakout category on the UDK from early release. About a month ago, we pulled him. And because all the signs, all the things that you wanted to see in camp from Burrow and Chase aren't there right now. And because the draft capital and cost is so high, which is the main reason that this is being brought up, like I haven't taken Ja'Marr Chase in any drafts, any mocks, any real drafts in the fifth round because I love all the other wide receivers more there. And now he's struggling with drops. You have established receivers like, you know, T. Higgins had a great rookie season, and then you obviously have Tyler Boyd. I just think the risk for Ja'Marr Chase having a Ruggs-esque season right now is rising and the cost is too high. So I'm sort of out on Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah. Welcome. We've needed one more because I've been all by myself.
I've had to eat all the donuts every single meeting.
The latest is that it's possible.
He still gets a dozen, but no one's there to
right.
eat them with
I just want, in case people show up, I want to be prepared. The latest is that he might end up splitting some time with Auden Tate to start the season even. So this is a guy, it's different, right? Like the athletic profile, the combination of the quarterback from college and Burrow, the number five pick, there were a lot of checkboxes that said, take your shot. It's just draft cost. If he was going where Devontae Smith is going, then it's like, well, sure, I'm going to take the shot. But right now you're giving up a Tyler Lockett or someone like that that's like not.
Let me throw one other thing in real quick, and then I want Mike's opinion on the whole situation. There are a lot of people that reacted to my tweet like, oh, well, look, B.C. Johnson was getting all the headlines last offseason before mm-hmm. Justin Jefferson came out and dominated. And so, Mike, how do you react to what you've seen so far? Two preseason games, camp news. Am I overreacting, taking him off my fifth-round board?
I don't think you're overreacting to the ADP. You and I have been in sync. I like Ja'Marr Chase a lot. I like the long-term outcomes, or I project that he will be an excellent player, a true number one wide receiver in the NFL. I guess one thing we haven't focused on enough is the ADP, because the fifth round for me, that's the Tyler Lockett round. And the sixth round, to me, that's the Chase Claypool round, where I'm taking those players 10 out of 10 times if they are there over Ja'Marr Chase. So I guess the Chase discussion hasn't had ADP talked about at the same time enough on this show. And so that's on us. But I think that by the end of the season, Ja'Marr Chase will have a fantasy impact and a rookie impact. The dude hasn't played football in a really long time. He opted out of his last season.
And he looks like it, unfortunately.
Because of COVID.
He wouldn't look that way.
Yeah, the Bengals were really hoping he would not look that way. So the separation was what was talked about a few weeks ago, but that's there. He was still getting open in these games, but he looks like a player who is
mentally
who hasn't played in a long time, and now he's going from hasn't played in a long time. What he just played was college ball. That's a bigger speed, a much larger speed difference than the pros. So him trying to catch up mentally, I think it's going to take some time. So ADP-wise, I'm out. Over the course of the season, I'm still in.
Not a lot of good vibes, I'll say, for rookie wideouts right now. Jalen Waddle waddling off the field. Rashad Bateman's hurt. Elijah Moore's hurt.
Devontae Smith, baby.
Yeah, Devontae Smith is still looking good at his ADP.
It's funny, though, because even that offense, you're like, what do you do?
The offense has been bad. Oh, man, with that, you want to talk about securing your job. You want to secure your job, put Joe Flacco in the game. They're like, oh, we need Jalen Hurts so bad, other than Deshaun Watson.
It's funny, Flacco actually looked pretty darn good the first week. But
yes,
Kadarius Toney, as Mike has often said this offseason, is his champion at the rookie wide receiver position, right?
That's your you drafted him in your dynasty league.
Was that your my guy the other day?
I went all in on him. I drafted back up into the end of the second round of our rookie drafts to get him.
All right. I think we can probably hop into the mailbag. Player I want to bring up, though, as tight end for the Pittsburgh Steelers, because two touchdowns deserves a conversation. Pat Freiermuth.
Number one rookie tight end this year.
Which Jason loves to comically say. The truth is, I think both of us had him as the number two behind
Pitts.
Kyle Pitts
yeah.
in like offseason scouting and collegiate scouting. He is a very talented tight end who is in a pretty good situation with kind of an unreliable enigma of Eric Ebron in Pittsburgh.
Who had a nasty drop.
Yeah, well, that's
already.
His. I mean, he does want
a game.
That's
his calling card, yeah.
So Ebron will still, I mean, he was 4 for 59 on 6 targets, but Freiermuth looks like a dynasty target.
Yeah, no,
although Big Ben will be gone. Yeah, that's who
I hated the landing spot when he was drafted because I loved Freiermuth coming in. And I hated it because right now you're behind Ebron and then Big Ben's going to be gone. So, but keep in mind, when he's catching passes from Aaron Rodgers, that is going to be incredible next year.
Are you in on my theory?
Have a theory that Aaron Rodgers ends up in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I based it strictly on Mike Tomlin was asked, what are you going to, like the quarterback position, you know, after Ben is gone, what are you going to do? And he said, I've got a plan. And so I just figured that plan will be trade for Aaron Rodgers.
The plan can't be Mason Rudolph or Dwayne Haskins.
Exactly.
And that was part of my decision making. I know it's not them.
If Rodgers arrives.
And it's like AFC, NFC, I mean, they're not going to trade him inside the NFC.
Probably more likely that Big Ben has a successful season and then comes back again for another year.
Well, I mean, then my cool Aaron Rodgers theory?
Probably.
How dare
but
you?
But if the important thing here, guys,
I thought about this for a long time.
If it happens, can we say the Muth is loose?
I think we gotta go with a Friar Tuck.
See,
joke.
I was
a Friar Tuck.
I was thinking either Friar Tuck or Father Muth.
Oh, Father Muth.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to
father related to the Friar thing.
Yeah, isn't that what Friar means?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
Someone. Oh, so we gotta check.
We're googling
because you're a monk.
Are all friars? They're not monks,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, friars are monks, aren't they?
No, it's a large, deep container for frying food.
Oh.
Deep air fryer, Muth. I don't know. Thank you for doing something in the preseason, Pat, because your name is just unlimited what we could do here.
Yeah.
Okay. What? Read it to me.
Well, it looks like I saw that friar is padre, which is father. So I think this is correct.
Yeah. Okay.
The only friar I can think of is the
from Disney's Robin Hood.
Well, Disney one. I was thinking of Prince of Thieves.
Mm.
But yes, he had what like a lot of beer.
Yeah,
was he?
Yeah, uh-huh.
He was bringing
the
a
monks.
Transport of beer.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean they've done it before. We
we know a lot about.
So
monks.
We'll workshop it. We got a long time before Aaron Rodgers arrives in Pittsburgh.
That's right, 1 year. Before we move on, I do want to throw one other name out, Logan Thomas. Has moved up my draft board. Coming into this offseason, the signing of Curtis Samuel, bringing in Adam Humphries, it seemed like Mr. Necessary was going to be unnecessary, and he was pretty much destroyed in our rankings. Preseason has really shown, like, he is out there every single snap, and he is running routes a ton. They paid him this year. He is going to be a big part of this offense, and I think that...
Can I push back a little?
Ooh. By all means.
No Curtis Samuel this preseason.
Fair enough.
And Dyami Brown looks awesome.
Yeah.
That being said, those I think that the wide receiver positions are going to be whoever's on the field. Like, Curtis Samuel gets there, he'll probably get more targets than whoever's there now, and Dyami Brown's great, but I think they're going to use the tight end because they did last year, and they have so far in preseason.
He got a really terrible pass targeted to him in the end zone this past weekend.
The question is, Jason, so you moved him up, but have you moved him up where you're comfortable that he is the tight end 9 in ADP?
The tight end 9 in ADP, I think you could take your shot around there if you want. If you wanted to tell me that...
Goddard or Logan Thomas right now?
I have them back-to-back in my rankings, and I would take... guess I'd take Goddard, but I see them very similar.
Robert Tonyan or Logan Thomas? And Tonyan is ADP currently
Irv Smith or Logan?
Logan.
Okay. Let's do a couple mailbag questions.
Mailbag.
Mailbag. Ooh. If you have a question for the show, head to the website, thefantasyfootballers.com. Click the submit a question button, or you can dial the voicemail hotline, 302-464-TFFB. Question number one, Steel City in Pittsburgh writes in. He says, would you recommend drafting Chuba Hubbard in the 15th round if you drafted CMC, PPR, redraft league?
I have no, in the 15th, I have no problem with this. Jason was kind of alluding to it that in the draft process, you often do not know who your true backup, your true insurance running back is. But I think we've seen enough from the Panthers' usage of Chuba in the preseason that if McCaffrey is missing time, I think they would use Chuba the same way that they used Mike Davis last year, so he would become incredibly valuable.
If you're the kind of person that drafts insurance running backs, then fine. It's nice to know.
But it's like in the 15th, that's a really, deep roster.
Right. I'd rather just play around with those roster spots on upside players at this point than to roster an injury only. That's just philosophically what I would do. I would rather be taking a shot on a breakout player,
so
like Elijah Moore or something.
Let me ask you.
He's not going to be there in the 15th.
No, 15th round, let me give you some names. So like Rashad Penny, Ramondre Stevenson, would you want to take the shot that one of those two guys has a bigger role?
No, I'd probably grab my insurance if it was between those three players.
Damian Williams?
No. Keep going.
Those are the running backs in that range. Marlon Mack.
Why don't you read me some upside players that you could grab at the 15th that have like
Marquez Callaway.
Yeah, I'd probably see what happens in week one with him.
I would rather draft Callaway.
And then Valdez-Scantling out of Green Bay is probably there in the 15th.
Yeah, I'd probably take my insurance. So maybe
Xavier Jones?
No.
Okay, Chuba. Well, there you go.
Yeah, all right. Maybe I'm wrong. Dan in the UK writes in.
Oh, bonjour.
Says, hi, guys. I love the show from across the pond. I wanted to ask if you take into account schedules and strength of offensive lines when doing your rankings. And he also asked, we usually get over 80,000 people at Wembley Stadium. Would you consider a London show in the future? Dan, if you could promise 80,000, I'll go do it from the field.
What's your overflow policy? Like, I feel like if we go to Wembley, 80,000.
Not enough?
It won't be large enough.
And that could get dangerous. You don't want one of those crushes.
Right. Yeah, a lot of standing room only situations there. So, you can only hold 80.
For that reason, until you upgrade the actual capacity
to the venue
to a real stadium, put the 100K this, and then maybe we'll fly over.
That's
for those
a good
reasons,
point.
Shark Tank.
Yeah.
I'm out.
What
was the question?
I mean, to be honest, I'd love to do a show in London. That'd be amazing. Do you take into account schedules and strength of offensive lines when doing your rankings? I mean, certainly we take into account schedule when you're drafting a defense or a streaming quarterback to start the year.
And obviously when we do our rankings throughout the season, these things factor in a lot. Your schedule's going to be massive, your matchups and all of that. When you're talking about draft season rankings, obviously, we do factor in offensive line. We consider that with guys who have a great one or a terrible one. You don't really factor it in with the middle of the pack. It's really the outliers that are going to make the big difference. And I don't really take too much. To be honest, I don't go too wild with strength of schedule in draft rankings.
Andy's cackling over here. I have no idea what's going on.
We're going to close this out with this next question, but I'm just shaking my head and laughing at it. Jason, your answer was great, but I was distracted by this question.
Okay.
Kevin in Denver writes in with an important title called Highly Suspicious. He says, hey, footballers, I'm suspicious that the commissioner may secretly be playing as a manager of a second team in our league. We've never met the other manager, and there have been multiple incidents that came across as highly suspicious. The commissioner is a friend of mine. I'm not sure how to approach him about it. Do you see why I was laughing?
I need to know what the suspicious transactions are. Are these two teams just trading all the time? How would what would make you suspicious other than...
Yeah, I mean, multiple incidents, so has to be trades.
There's a bad person here. You just don't know if it's you or the commissioner. Okay, because...
Yeah, you may need to look in the mirror.
Yeah, I mean, one of the two is at fault here, because either this is true, and shame on that person, and you got to call him out. There's only one way to find out. You got to face-to-face, IRL, say, hey, brother, I love you. I got to ask you, man. Are you team 11? Are you team... Or... And then when you find out, no, that's... And then he shows you pictures of him with, you know, his buddy or whatever.
With Schmandy?
With Schmandy Mollaway. You got to look in the mirror and say, I saw those transactions and I felt like he won, and so I could only assume
that
he was transacting with himself.
Can't you try to bait him into a phone call or a Zoom call? Like, I've got a trade offer that is so good, but I want to lock it in on Zoom.
Or do a league-wide Zoom meetup.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they'll just say they can't make it. But I think you back them into a corner where they have to Zoom with you, but then you're going to get someone it's just going to be shadow-faced, and it's going to be all
hello,
just...
Hello. Greetings. I don't like that trade offer.
It's Megamind.
Like, how can you... I'm trying to think of a way that you could mole...
I'm not locking it. Just offer them, you know, real nice trade, but you got to lock it in on...
On Zoom. Yeah.
And then another guy shows up on Zoom and you're like, oh no.
Right. Well, that's what you get for thinking bad about your friend, the commissioner.
Is it thinking bad? I mean,
yes, you're thinking that your friend is colluding
with himself.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty bad.
Just keep private investigator is the answer to the question. Hire one.
Do a weekly Zoom meetup for your league and see if he misses every single week, and then say, hey, I want to make sure we could schedule one where he could get on, and then see what happens.
Oh, it's funny. Or do nothing and then just be suspicious for years.
Don't be suspicious. Yeah. Don't be suspicious.
All right, we want to thank Pristine Auction for supporting the show. Mike Evans, signed jersey up there right now. Antonio Gibson, signed jersey. Jonnu Smith, who I'm warming on in fantasy. Sign logo football up there on Pristine Auction. Hundreds of daily sports auctions. Use the code Baller, and
use the code Ballers.
Ballers.
I don't know if Baller works, but Ballers definitely give you $10.
Baller is only $1 because it's singular.
Oh, that makes sense. You get a $1 credit with the code Baller.
So if you just put the S, you'll get $9 extra of credit.
Hmm. If we had them activate Baller for $1, that would get used, and they'd be like, oh, this is not a great deal. But yeah, use the code BALLERS, get a $10 credit. Big time shows this week. Breakouts, sleepers, busts, values, mock draft, all happening this week.
Oh,
you don't want to miss a show.
Megalobowl.com, get in there, and we'll see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com. And follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.